Good morning, sir. Welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Commerce City, and just for my information, what is your name, sir?
Chad Leon.
We welcome to the board this morning, and the honorable Mr. Will Colonis will conduct your hearing at this time, sir. So please just hold on to the phone, and Mr. Colonis will be, the honorable Colonis will be right with you, sir.
Okay.
Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Chad Mario Munoz. Number's 109224.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31-4-12B parole hearing to consider parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. If you can see on the video conference screen, I'll begin with the opposite side of the bench. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. We have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. The center of the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me, the Honorable Mr. David Neal. And my name is Lee Enonis. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. We'll begin the hearing with the following summary. Mr. Chad Munoz is 42 years old. The crimes of aggravated assault and endangerment occurred on or about August 8, 1993. He was 17 years old at the time of the offenses. Do these dates sound correct so far, Mr. Munoz?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Munoz was found guilty by a jury trial on August 16, 1994. On September 14, 1994, he was sentenced to 5 consecutive prison sentences. His conviction was upheld by the Arizona Court of Appeals on March 19, 1996. Note, he also had an additional 1.5-year sentence for escape with a second degree, which expired on August 14, 1995. At least that's what it looks like according to Ames. He was granted parole from his first consecutive sentence, that is a 15-year prison term for aggravated assault, on April 26, 2006. He's currently serving a 15-year sentence for aggravated assault with a sentence end date of August 17, 2020. Should he be paroled to his next consecutive sentence, he will serve 3 more prison terms for felony endangerment, each carrying 1 year, 10 months, and 15-day periods of incarceration, respectively. Again, Mr. Munoz, does that sound accurate?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll make sure, because it's kind of an interesting sentencing structure. Also, I'll ask you when we get into discussion, but I'm not completely clear on the escape charge. I know that came and went, but we'll get into that later, just from my understanding. I'll read a summary of the offense in question. Mr. Munoz was convicted of multiple counts of aggravated assault and endangerment by a jury. The sentencing judge found a number of aggravating factors in present, including the extent of the serious emotional harm caused to the victims, the offenses involved the use of a deadly weapon, the outrageous disregard for the neighborhood by spraying the victims' residence with bullets, the presence of an accomplice, and Mr. Munoz was a member, at least as was documented by the member of the Eastside Garfield gang. Mr. Munoz has an extensive juvenile criminal history dating back to 1987, including convictions for shoplifting, burglary, and theft, with periods of juvenile probation and parole included. And that's just a sample, but I believe those are the ones that were actually convicted in the juvenile system. Again, Mr. Munoz, does that sound accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Munoz has completed considerable programming in the Arizona Department of Corrections. Although this is not a regular parole hearing, Mr. Munoz has a future release plan, which includes anger management, substance abuse counseling, family support, and pursuing work in the automotive repair field. By the way, I meant anger management and substance abuse counseling. His last significant, or pardon me, he has a significant history of discipline in 2018, with his last major on April 16, 2018, for promoting prison contraband. This is his fifth year before the board. He has numerous letters of support from family and community. We also have a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office dated May 17, 2017, proposing his parole. I'll ask my colleagues, I think that's the last letter we received that time. Okay, so I'll make sure. And I think I may have passed over this when I was speaking earlier, but again, he was granted parole from his first consecutive sentence, a 15-year prison term, for aggravated assault on April 26, 2016. This all being stated, Mr. Munoz, can you tell us in your own words about the offenses that resulted in your incarceration and why you should be considered for parole to your next consecutive sentence? Thank you, sir.
I was young. After we grit now, that I get older, I see life in a different way. I know I made many mistakes in life as far as juvenile too, but the older I get, the more wiser I get. I know I caused Mr. Ruby and his family pain, and you know, I'm grateful for it, but I gotta live with that for the rest of my life. I'm not that 17-year-old kid no more that was the driver in that incident. You know, I'm older now. I see life different. And, you know, I feel that I should be granted parole because that's not me no more. I have changed my life. And I know it looks bad at the whole crime, but, you know, for all I was wrong. I take responsibility for my action. I was wrong for being involved, for doing it. And, you know, it's costing you 25 years of my life now. And I gotta live a guilty man for the rest of my life because of this. I just wanted to be given a chance to show as an adult that I can make it out there and do good and work and be a productive member of society. Be there for my family. And just don't want to return to prison ever. But I am regretful for my action. I have no excuses for what happened. I really don't. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Munoz. Certainly, there are factors in the parole package that are very positive. To begin with, you do have an eventual sentence end date, regardless of how this board votes today. You're not looking at a life sentence. You have done quite a bit of programming in the Department of Corrections. You mentioned wanting to work eventually in automotive repair. Have you gained those skills while you've been inside the Department of Corrections?
Yes, I took numerous classes of diesels, automotive. They don't have them right now currently in March unit, but I talked to CO4 last week about getting some, and she told me to write my ideas down and she'll put it to the warden and see what they can do to help us get some kind of trade of automotive there. But they do got like CDI, I took that, and they got a few other ones, but on the blue side, I haven't took them yet because they haven't came up. They come up on blocks. But I just have received another ticket last night. I just finished another program. I didn't get to put it in, but they dropped it off my bed last night. I continue to program every day and do good regardless what happens there. But I do want to get more schooling on the automotive or get out at least and go to school to learn more about it.
If you could, because I didn't see a lot of narrative about this separate charge, but what was this escape and second degree charge about that you were sentenced for in the early 90s?
In 94, I was pulled over by the cops And I didn't run from an institution, it was just how I was handcuffed, and I tried to run, and I didn't get very far, and people were in the cop car, and I was trying to escape or run with handcuffs on.
Were you released at the time? It looks like, it maybe my dates are off, but the shooting incident that resulted in your conviction, it looks like it happened on August 8th of 1993. You said this happened in 94, so what was going on during that time?
I was still going to court for that, making charges on that.
Okay.
On the aggravated assault case.
So you were on release at that time?
Yes.
And were you on some sort of probation or parole when the shooting incident happened? I know you were a juvenile, but it looked like that you had some history between 87 and 93. So what was your status in the correction system when the shooting happened?
I was off parole.
You were on parole? Or off?
No, I was off the roll. Okay,
pardon me, sir.
I wasn't on 19. I completed my parole at Holy Mountain, and I was off when that happened.
Well, I'm going to be jumping around a bit. I do try to keep hearings positive. One of the things I certainly want to commend you for is how much programming we've done. And somewhere along the way, I don't know if you're just a naturally good writer, but you submitted quite a few documents and you're a good writer. Did you get your GED inside of prison? Did you study more writing?
Yes, I'm self-educated from prison. I took my time to learn. When I first came to prison, I was illiterate. And I took the time to learn. I tried to better myself as far as writing and learning to write. And I know that I'm going to need that for my resume when I get out. I'm writing to survive out there as far as job-wise and things like that. So I'm self-educated. I take every class I could, and I read. If I don't know something, I try to learn it. But yeah, I learned all my writing in prison.
Well, it's impressive, especially if you considered yourself illiterate when you began your period of incarceration. You want to develop your writing skills, and I think they'll serve you well. As I stated earlier, we have some serious decisions to make on behalf of the people of Arizona. But again, you do have a firm SED, one way or the other. So I believe those skills will help you both your programming and your education inside of the prison system. The concerns I have are mostly related to your discipline. It looks like that you had a significant history of discipline and that you had majors recently in 2018. So what happened, Mr. Munoz?
I'm a mentor on the job. I don't know if you guys are aware of mentor jobs. I sent you a copy of my chrono. I mentor people. I talk to them. I help them. I try to help them better themselves and all that. And somebody asked me to pick up some Mike Dad's case. I was coming out the rector. He was already out of the rip on us at the gate. And I was stopped at the gate. And the steel sir had the flag guy because I gave it to him, he searched it and found the homie syringing it. And I can do nothing but just look at him and have nothing to say. I don't know, it just shocked me. But immediately the individual, Michael Choi, went up to the steel and tried to tell him that, hey, that's my guy, that had his name and number on it. He went and spoke with this deal, and that's what they call this issue, Sergeant Banderas. He was on vacation. We didn't talk to Sergeant Banderas until about 2 or 3 weeks later, maybe even longer. I went to disbarment. They found me guilty on that. The warden, she just denied my appeal. I would have took it to central office and far away, but my appeal went to a different unit and got to be late. So when I tried to pull out the kite and all that to show them that I received my appeal late, it was already too late. But not, I tried to stand in trouble. shit.
But Mr. Munoz, let me tell you, I believe that somewhere in your experience in prison that some changes started happening with you, some positive changes. The problem is the pattern. It looks like that as recently as the last, let's say, 7 years, you had possession of drugs, criminal damage, theft, criminal damage. So what was going on during that time? Because we do see people turn a corner, start making some mature and positive decisions for themselves. And again, I recognize you took a lot of programming, but did you get involved in drugs inside of the Department of Corrections?
Yes, I did. And I made mistakes, just how it and just being dumb. But at the same time, I couldn't be on the yard. Like, I tried to remove myself off the yard. I did most of my time in lockdown. That's why I would receive write-ups, because I would want to remove myself and go to lockdown. That's where I could function. That's what I understood when I started. When I first came to prison and started my time, I started SMU-1 lockdown. So upon receiving these tickets, I'm guilty of them. I was wrong. But yes, I got them just so I can go back to lockdown, just so I could remove myself out of that environment. That's wrong of me to think. But now I grow up and I'm on a 3 yard right now. I've never been to a medium yard since I've been in prison. This is my first time on a medium yard, and it took me some getting used to, and I didn't like it. And I wanted to go back to a 4 yard or go to lockdown, but I couldn't bring myself to do that. I had to man up and look at it. This is one stepping stone to going home. I had to face whatever it was that I didn't like about being out there in the yard, and learn to be around people and do good. I just can't continue to go to lockdown every time I want to go to lockdown, but that's basically all my rights. If you look, the riots happened within 1 or 2 days. You know, I got her back to back so I could go back to lockdown. It was foolish of me, it was childish of me, and you know, I don't got no excuses for it, but I sit here in front of you today and it's coming back to haunt me.
Well, it is unfortunate because, as I stated, we have to make some tough decisions, and it's hard to look past when there's been a lot of discipline. This is not to say that you cannot redeem yourself or that you can't go through a period where you put it behind you, but it's just hard to ignore. Did you stop using drugs?
Yes.
How long have you been clean, sir?
For at least 4 or 5 years. That ticket was in 07. They took my business. It hurt my family. It hurt me a lot. And it's just something that I never had a problem with all my life, and it's just something that I got into for a minute, and that was it.
Did you get involved with heroin?
Yes.
I don't mean to ask that question like it's the deciding factor. I just know that heroin seems to be something that happens a lot inside prison. I recognize there's other drugs available too. I'm sure the possession of a syringe didn't look too good to the staff.
It's everywhere. No, when they found the syringe on me, they UA'd me too. And they had to drop my ticket because I was clean.
Well, that's good to hear. Considering regardless of what happened, we don't always get the full story. It's good to hear when something like that happens that at least your UA was clean. But again, I try to look for the positives. Let's talk a little bit about family. It looks like that you have support on the outside. You made some reference to having a fiance, is that right?
Yes.
And you have a daughter on one side?
Yes.
But
now I got my daughter from my previous girlfriend, and yes, I have two grandkids with her, and I got five with my fiance.
And so you have a natural daughter in the
community? Yeah, I got one natural daughter. And
is she going to go in the military?
No, that's my stepdaughter, but I kind of raised them. I raised them, so I look at her no other than my daughter. She's in the U.S. Army. She would have been here today. She came to a few times to my boards, but she couldn't get off of duty, I guess, in the Army. They only let certain people go a certain amount of time. She couldn't get off, or she would be here today.
Well, that's good to hear. What is she doing in the Army, sir?
She's an ammo specialist. She was stationed in South Korea before she got sent to Johnson City, Kansas.
At this point, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you, Mr. McNeil. Any questions? Yes, Mr. Barney. Yes, Dr. Wright.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Kiwanis. Sir, and I think you've already answered this for the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis. But back to the original offense itself, when this crime was committed, what did you participate in that? Was this gang-related, or what happened there, sir? How did you end up becoming so involved in the original crime itself that resulted in you being incarcerated all of these years?
No, it wasn't gang related. It was like a bounty killed. I had a cousin named Richard Corrales. He passed away. He killed himself. And the girlfriend of Ralph Ruby used to be with Richard Corrales. After Richard Corrales died, he was shooting at my aunt's house. And when I got out of Madison, she had told me about it, and I confronted him on it, and that's how everything went bad.
As you reflect on it, were you a leader of this group, or were you following the group? What was your role in that whole incident, sir?
And
the shooting, you know, shooting up at the house and all of that. I mean, were you the leader? Were you the one who was the leader? In every group, there's someone who's always sent out as a leader. There are others who follow the leader, and I was just trying to figure out what was your role, sir?
I don't know how to answer. I guess you could say I was the leader because I was my problem with him. He didn't have no problem with anybody else but me. So it was my responsibility. Nobody else had any problem with them but me.
And I know you've been incarcerated all these years, but do you have an idea of what happened to the rest of the co-defendants? Were they incarcerated, or you're the only one that's incarcerated because of this offense?
My co-defendant got five years. He's out now. The victim, Ralph Ruby, he came to prison. He's out now. And Steve Valdez, he didn't get charged, but he's been out.
Okay, sir. And I'm going to jump forward now. Whether this board let you out now or you serve the rest of your time, do you think that you can, that you will be a productive citizen, that you won't get into any more trouble in the future, sir, after all these years having been incarcerated, sir?
Yes, I believe I will be for conductive member of society. I believe that I'm going to be so busy and with everything out there that I don't even want to have time to have anything to do with anything, gangs and trouble. I just want to live my life. Now that I'm older, I missed out on so much. I'm never going to be able to get back what I lost, but at least I can try to be there for my grandkids now and my mother. aunts and uncles that it's going to help me. I know it's not going to be easy out there, and I know it's easy to turn back to crime and all that, but it's not worth it to me. It's not worth coming back to prison. I spent all these years in prison to come back. I believe that if I got out, I'm not going to return. I would like to move out of state with my fiance, because she lives in Junction City, to help with her grandkids. And, you know, someday my mom sees her, she's going to move out of state. We have talked about it too. So I want to do that.
What do you say, fiance lives, I just didn't hear you, what state she lives in?
Junction City, Kansas.
Oh, okay.
By the Army Reef.
Oh, okay. Same place where your daughter is, one that's in the military?
Yes.
Okay. Now, how long have you been with your fiancé, so I use the word that you use. How long have you and your fiancé been involved with each other, sir? If you were married, I would say how long have you been married, so I'd just say how long have the two of you been together, sir?
13 years.
13 years. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay, sir. Well, thank you so very much, and thank you so very much, Honorable Mr. Kiwanis.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Any further questions from fellow board members? Okay, Mr. Rivers, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. This is a good time to hear from supporters. So, ma'am, would you like to approach
yes.
the
podium? My name is Viola Rodriguez. I'm from Chat Munoz. And we have had the support out there because brothers that are all working and sisters. That's why they couldn't make it today, but they had to be at work. And Bill would do good if he does get that parole, Your Honor. So long. It's time for him to come home. It's been years, 20-something years. But he does have all the support from the family. And we'll provide him when Jerry can go back, come to see when he starts working, and do well on his own. Then we'll, you know. And that's all I got to say. And thank you. All of you. And then come up here and speak to you.
Thank you, ma'am. Just a quick question. Your son wrote a pretty good statement. It sounds like his brothers and sisters have moved on in their lives.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Tell us a little bit about that, just quickly.
My daughter, she's working for insurance for the, for the Crippled Children's Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And my son's a truck driver. He got his CLD. And my daughter, she was working for telecommunication. And then my other daughter is working for, nursing, taking care of old folks. Yes. So, and I got one son that's incarcerated besides him.
I'm sorry to hear that, but it is good to hear that there's positive support in the community. So. Thank you. Any questions from fellow members?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, Mr.
Chairman. I think Mr. Ramirez answered this question, but I missed it. Now, are you one of those in Kansas, or are you here in Arizona? Like, where do you live?
I'm here in Arizona. I'm a tallest in Arizona, sir.
Okay. So, will you remain in Arizona even if one day he decided to go to Kansas?
Yes. Well, I'm waiting for my other son to come home so I can go to Denver. I
just want to
move, you know.
Okay. So you're just going to move around and enjoy life.
Yes, there you go.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, doctor. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Okay, Mr. Lewis, we're getting close to the real end of your hearing. So is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel is important for the board to know or understand before we deliberate?
Well, first, I thank you guys for letting me be in front of you. In regards to having here today, I'll continue to program and better myself. I do got, I think, to 2023, and I know someday I'll be out. And now I do want to go home, but it's your guys' decision. If you decide not to let me go home, I respect that. And thank you. I can guarantee you I'll see you again.
Well, thank you, Mr. Munoz, and thank you for being so direct with the board. I meant what I said about the positive factors, so keep pursuing that programming. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes under the open meeting laws of Arizona? We don't discuss these cases before we walk into the hearing room. We're all independent. So if we'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, as you know, I already shared, I'm really impressed with the amount of programming that Mr. Munoz has pursued inside the Department of Corrections. I'm hearing that he's cleaned up from his exposure to drugs inside the prison system, which is always tragic that drugs continue to be available inside DOC. If I read his history correctly, and I'm always a little careful with this for the sake of security, but just real quick. Pretty sure that he debriefed. We didn't ask that question. Actually, I'm going to come out of roll here for 1 second. Mr. Munoz, did you go through a debriefing? And I'll just ask that real general. Did you debrief?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. I think that's certainly a positive step inside the Department of Corrections. Even though we're not considering whether or not at this point, he has a pretty strong plan. He's interested in being productive. He's still a young man. And it would seem that he's gained at least some skills inside the Department of Corrections. I think what's an issue for me, and we can have a discussion about this, is the discipline. Some of this is really fresh. And I'm going to take what Mr. Munoz says at face value and in good faith. That there was an unfortunate situation that happened recently, but it seems that he has a discipline that was still fairly recent up until these last couple of years. And for me as one voting board member, it's easier in my mind to invest in someone that has a longer period without history, without discipline history. And I'm not feeling so comfortable about voting for the next consecutive sentence, but I am very open to the input or wisdom of my colleagues. Yes, Honorable Ms. Whitmer.
Thank you, Mr. Kanyanis. I have to agree about the discipline. There are quite a few, and there are four recent. So I would be with you having some reservations about that.
Thank you, ma'am. Any other further input from colleagues? All right. Then I'm going to make a motion. Just give me a moment. And that is regarding Mr. Chad M. Munoz, ABC number 109224. My motion is to deny parole to the next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge, and I will also ask for a 1 year set off.
Agreed.
Agreed. Okay, just give me a moment for the paperwork. Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. asked for the word to set off and also openly in hopes that he continues a discipline-free lifestyle inside the Department of Corrections. Release type denied is 412B, parentheses next consecutive sentence, or absolute discharge. And reasons for denial are as follows. And that is a serious and violent offense, trauma to the victims, prior criminal history, institutional behavior, recent disciplinary infractions, is there anything that I'm missing, colleagues?
What about multiple victims?
Yes, thank you. I thought I was bypassing something. Multiple victims, anything else? Four board members. Okay, Mr. Munoz, the board has voted unanimously to deny parole to the next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge, but I would ask that you re-listen to the positivity of what I was sharing today. I think you're doing good things. I think you're on a good path. I think you are doing a great job of preparing yourself, and frankly, I mean, this is a decision by the courts, but I find it encouraging that you do have a sentence end date and an early release credit date in 2023. This is not to say that you'll be before this board again and that we won't consider parole to your next consecutive sentence the next time you meet with the board in a year. But again, I will encourage you to stay on the straight and narrow. We want to see you succeed, and you do have a sentence end date. So that being stated, did you hear our reasons for denial?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any questions before we bring this hearing to a close?
No.
Well, thank you for appearing before this board. Thank you for being polite. We appreciate the support that you have outside of the Department of Corrections, and this will bring the hearing to a close. Thank you, Mr. Munoz.
Thank you.